Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, we need the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ. We need the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of revelation. In the fear of the Lord, we need it in our lives all the time. And Lord, we pray for revelation knowledge of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would burn your word deep within our hearts. For we need strengthening. We need encouragement. And the world is definitely not going to give it to us. So we ask you this day, in Jesus' name, that every man, every woman, walk out of this place, feel stronger, encouraged, lifted up, and know what to do under all circumstances. And so with the evening service, that people come and be strengthened. Like it says, he spoke and I was strengthened. Let it be so for us today in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Again to this fabulous band. They are just amazing. Almost all of them are just professional musicians, and you can throw anything at them and they play it at the drop of a hat. But what they do is always so perfect. So I want to take us into a little bit of scripture, and it is the month of prayer, October, an institution which God gave us to bring as an institution, prayer October. It's the month that God is leading us and many other people to pray this month. And it's also the month that ends with Halloween. So it begins with spiritual warfare and it ends with spiritual warfare. But there's much to be said about this. Actually, I wish I could just sort of take a chair like at home, sit in a lounge seat and lounge chair or whatever, and just be very relaxed and talk about this topic, because we took a long, long time. Now, from 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I'm going to read something which I do think is important, because we are that last generation. Currently in our midst are many people born in this millennium, this century, but also this millennium. If you're 18 years or younger, you are called a millennial. How many millennials are in the first service? Let me see your hands right now. Just raise your hands. Okay, I see them. I see them all over. And there's one here. That's my eldest grandson, Reuben. You're sitting in the front. And he's also a millennial. They're all millennials. And they're growing up in a strange world. They're growing up in a culture that is very different from the culture in which perhaps some of us who are older have grown up. Things that are very foreign to us is the last pillars of what's wrong and what's right. Those pillars of what's right are falling. I think it's Isaiah 59 that says, truth has failed, truth has fallen in the street. And he who departs from evil makes himself a target. And it's amazing how that the millennials particularly have to grow up in a culture that they don't know what they're actually adapting or adapting to and accepting. The choices of the culture that we live in are subtly being changed. The pillars of morality, the pillars of what's right, what's wrong, what's associated with Satan and the kingdom of darkness and God and the kingdom of light. Those final pillars are falling. And with every time a society of any nation approves that which is morally wrong, condones that which is twisted, the moment that happens, the ramifications of that, which then presents itself as a cultural norm to particularly the millennials, the young people, maybe those under the age of 25, I say at the least, 25, even 30. The millennial, the young generation, are living and growing up in a society that accepts things that are completely out of line with Scripture. And as I taught you in the previous session, this book here is the Constitution of Little Falls Christian Center. What it says is right is right. What this book says, not so, it's wrong. You just don't do it. You just don't go there. Regardless of the culture, whether I'm living in France, whether I'm living in Japan, whether I'm living in China or South Africa or the USA or Brazil or whatever, what stands in this book is the guiding point of reference. It is the point of reference of what is called morality, what is wrong and what is right, what is part of darkness of Satan and light of God. And I think somebody that said me a little thing there of a student being challenged by a professor in the university. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a story at this university, and this professor's ridiculing faith in God, and he continues to do so. And then the student answers him, and he but thoroughly puts him in his place. And that until the class even laughs at the university. And the student's name was Albert Einstein. He puts him in his place, and he talks about what remains yet above it all is a thing called faith, to believe that we're not here by chance or by per accident. I thought it's just such an excellent story. One day I'll read it to you. Now, concerning this generation, the point of reference, and we have got all of us because of Christianity and because of this Bible and the Jewish world that gave us the Bible, the Israel of God, because of that, because of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, we have got a moral conduct system that we can all the time refer to. Is this right? Is this wrong? And so, having said that, we look at the words of Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm just going to read from verse 1 because I'm coming in from an angle which I'll continue tonight. It's profound. It's profound in the context of what we're praying about. It sets the scene for why we pray in this month. Now, brethren, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering to Him, we ask you not soon to be shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away, people departing from the way, the truth, and the life, people accepting norms, traditions that drag them straight into darkness. Satan's traps are set everywhere on all quarters. There comes a backsliding, a falling away first. And the man of sin, which is the Antichrist, is revealed. The son of perdition, destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, Antichrist. We're living in the last hour. We're living in the last hour. The coming of our Lord is imminent. Do you remember verse 5? That gets important. That while I was still with you, I told you these things. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Everything under heaven is timed by God. Now watch this expression. For the mystery of lawlessness. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, go back again there and see what it says in verse number 7. It talks about the mystery of lawlessness. Now, the word lawlessness is precisely that, the mystery of lawlessness. The word lawlessness literally is the Greek word anomia, which means violation of law of any kind, mystery of sin. Some translations say mystery of iniquity. Lawless, lawlessness, wicked, wickedness is already at work. Said the Apostle Paul in his day, he says that mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And then there comes a time when he who restrains will be taken out of the way. And of course, then the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist, will be revealed. But I want to focus in on this word called mystery of lawlessness. And then take you from there, and then take you to, that's why I have to do the two services, to building a hedge of protection around your life, around your family's lives, around everything that's precious to you. And you know what we're praying for when we pray next week. So the mystery of lawlessness, that means without any law, violation of law, says the dictionary here. Now, dear friends, I have to tell you and maybe refresh you on a story which I do think is critical because it radically altered my point of view. You know, there's a song by a man called Johnny Cash who became a Christian in his last days and sang with the Billy Graham Crusades. And he says, I come around with a different point of view. And you come with a different point of view. When you look and you understand. So my point of view was radically altered when, in the first place, one night I walked outside in the garden and I was busy praying and doing the royal prayer, the Our Father, which art in heaven. And I did that looking up at the stars. I look up at the heavens and I speak those words to the Lord God in the open sky. And I'd hardly done when suddenly a voice spoke behind me and said, just this, you've served me 30 years on this West Rand. So that was in 2016 that this happened. I had concluded 30 years of serving God on the West Rand, this area of the country. And then the next word was, now you're ready to enter into the priesthood, which to me was very strange to say a thing like that to me. And I really tried to figure that out, but afterwards I would be able to do that, and I did. You've served me, now you're ready to enter the priesthood. Now, okay, so with that sort of a speed wobble, shaking effect, and your hair starts standing up on your skin, you realize there's more than just you out here. There's someone here present with you, and you can feel that awesome presence. You walk away, you say, how's that for the presence of God? And you go into the house. Now, after that period of time, that moment in time, actually, I started seeing a string of visions. I have told you about these visions, but for one, I need to tell you one particular one which fits in the mold of where we are now as a society, absolutely, worldwide. I saw, you cannot see it with the natural eye, that's just impossible. I've seen both fallen angels and angels of the light. They are gigantic, they're big, they're tall, they're big, huge wings. But what fascinated me was the speed wherewith these angels can move. And they can make a 90-degree turn without losing speed because they don't consist of any form of matter as we know it. There's no mass involved. So they just do that. There's no gravitation involved. So the laws of physics, we talk about dimensionality. It's just such an interesting subject. Don't apply. So they go at a huge speed, but you can see it in the spirit. If your eyes are open for that, you see them go like this, this. And I saw them do that and come straight down in the street and hit somebody in the street, one of these pitch black. I tell you, I call it velvet black. Light is completely absent. This absolute blistering speed where this angel came down, saw those wings, folded his wings, and went straight into a man that was walking on the street. When I saw that, I realized the person was now, so to speak, bedeviled. He was now filled with a dark spirit. But even more amazing is that, like that, his head and the shape of his head changed, became completely twisted. There were spikes everywhere on his face, all over. Like, you know, you get some animals that have these spikes on them, even fish that have these spikes. But there were spikes on the face, and that face was completely twisted. The man had turned into a monster. While I was looking at that, and the color of his face became like, I would say if somebody's dead for a long time, there's not been blood circulating for a long time. They turn to a certain color. It's like almost like the prickly pear leaves in that direction. It's just a strange color to see that. I saw that person's face change. Then I saw, here comes another one. Boom, on another person, same thing happens. And another one, this happened. Now, I'm cutting the story short to say, those people with these monstrous heads, these angels were now inside them. They walked up to people. They would just pat them on the shoulder. And if they touched them, whoever they touched, instantly their heads were turned into the shape of monsters, of demonic monsters. The next thing that I saw was, now again, I'm cutting out some information for the sake of time, was that there was a rebellion that broke out in the streets. I saw people throwing with stones. I saw rebellious crowds. I saw them smashing windows, looting shops. I saw these people violent, very violent. I saw these people becoming a total threat, and I would say to the world society, because this is really a world society. I saw them becoming a threat to everything in every nation and in themselves. You with the natural eye would look at them, you wouldn't see that. You wouldn't see the real face of that person. The mystery of wickedness, of rebellion, is already, said Paul, at work, and I understand that. And what happened next was riots and cars burning, and people being killed. Windows were broken, break into stores, looting, violence, raping, gang raping, all sorts of things were taking place. And I in this vision was so clear that it actually affected me. It was followed by several of the same kind, readdressing the situation from another perspective. And I began to realize that we're in for a period on this planet where there would be severe rebellion. You would see it in the streets. You would see throwing of stones. You wouldn't see it just here. You'd see it in other countries too. Hence, the short video that you saw there of the royal prayer, the Our Father, was filled with that. If you look at that video, you see that. That's what I saw in the vision. You see all this violence going on and people desperate, some of them fleeing, families suffering, people without food. It was terrible. I realized that there must be something that can be done about this. I also realized, and I do realize it even now more than ever, that the world, the system of the world is caught up in what you call secularism, which really comes from a Latin word, seculum. Seculum. It's Latin, which literally means worldliness. So worldliness decides what do we condone as a society. When the society condones, let's say, what God does not condone, it hits, number one, the individual, number two, the household, number two, the community, number three, the community, and finally, it hits the entire nation. And if you do a study of history and you look at why major societies of the past completely collapsed, like the Roman Empire, like the Grecian Empire, why did they collapse? They were into sin and this rebellious type of unconstrained living and all these things that were going on, I don't even want to describe them, that were infesting society. The ramifications of each of those decisions that are condoned has a direct impact on the entire nation, whichever nation, will bring about the filling of the cup of iniquity of any land, any nation. When the cup of iniquity is full, judgment then becomes imminent. God will judge. He's going to judge. He is the judge of all the earth. So in each country, the only thing at this point is a spirit-filled church full of the light. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You have the power and authority to pray, and you need to understand the enemy and how he works. But moreover, you need to understand your personal authority as a part and member of the body of Christ, citizen of the kingdom of God. You need to understand that. When you see those things, I saw them come at me in waves. And I want to tell you, it's like they fall back when you use the name of Jesus, then they regroup and they come again and again and again. At Sodom and Gomorrah, we stepped at a hotel there in Israel. I had a night praying from 10 to 12 all the way till 5 o'clock. Jumped in the bed, had about an hour's sleep, I think, that night. And I just, it was waves coming at me there, waves. And I would see them come and I pray and they'd fall back. And I see them come and they pray, they fall back. And they don't give up. They just keep coming till finally that yoke is broken. So you need to understand, people, we are living in a secular society worldwide. The secular society is bent on not even the things that have been condoned already. The pillars of morality, all of these things are falling one by one by one. But that's not where it's going to end. It will end with things like genetic manipulation. It will end with hybridization, where there's mixture of blood, like in the days of Noah. It will end, Jesus said, like the days of Noah. It will end, finally, with the perfection of what is known as the mark of the beast. I've been studying some of those chips that have been developed already. And they connected up to what is called the blockchain. And that is just, you can't decipher that stuff. So, and there are computers that are multi-million dollar computers. And there's only about two of them on earth that control all of this. My friends, the devil, the final score is the mark of the beast, which will in it, it actually gives out a frequency. And that frequency is there as so as to cut off your communication of being able to hear from God. It's called mind control of the total society. So once you've received the mind of the beast, the mark of the beast, you will not be able to receive Jesus in your life anymore. That's why the smoke of their torment ascended, Revelation 14, day and night, those who have received the mark of the beast. And they will not rest neither day nor night. It's moving towards the control of the minds of the people, the complete invasion through the internet of the lives of the people, and then finally to control the people, everything, finances, everything, that none be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. That sets the scene for what I want to start and will continue tonight. I want you to go with me in your Bible, the Bibles, everybody here, to Ezekiel chapter number 22:30. And this is a conclusion that is coming. God looks down at this mess. Worldliness has taken over. The church in many places have been taken over because of prayerlessness. No more spirit-filled. No more none of that stuff. It's just prayerlessness. No relationship with God. Ezekiel 22:30. God said so, in view of what I've just told you. I sought for a man among them who would, Ezekiel 22:30, who would make up a wall, an enclosure, a hedge, a wall, and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it because of the measure of worldliness and the abandonment, the falling away from morality, that I would not destroy the land. But I found no one. I want you to look also at the book of Job. Maybe we need to go at, take a look at Job in chapter number one. Now, it's an amazing thing. In verse 6, describes a scene that takes place in heaven, and you have the devil also in this story. Now, there was a day where the sons of God, the Old Testament, that always referred to angels, always. Five references, each reference where that expression is used in the Old Testament, again, the Old Testament, refers to angelic beings. The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Well, we know the Lord is in heaven. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, Job 1, verse 6, Satan also came among them, fallen angel. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, oh yeah, I've been going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it. They move, these creatures, with speed. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a man blameless, upright, one who fears God, shuns evil, departs, avoids evil? So Satan answered these very important words. Have you not made a hedge around him, his household, around all that he has, on every side? And then on top of that, you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Now, I want you just to go back to there, verse 10. Have you not made a hedge around him? I have carefully taken out this dictionary here, and It literally is, I'm just going to say it, to bar away with thorn bushes. Why did they do that? To fence protectively, to bar away with thorn bushes. You can almost say it's a thorny issue, a hedge of entwine something around, a fence of thorns, of dense shrubby thorns, shrub thorns, frequently used as a wall or a barrier. Hedges were often set around things that people treasured. Now the devil answers God, have you not made a hedge? So it's possible to make a hedge of protection, lest I come in to destroy the entire land. Have you not done that? So that's impossible if you've done that for me to get to him, because he's protected. They were made of thorn bushes, very dense thorn bushes that you get in the desert. Those thorn bushes would then be packed back, and they would keep out jackals, they would keep out predators, and there would be a gate, and there would be the door, and there would be the watchman or the gatekeeper at the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I take care of my sheep. So God says, okay, the devil says, have you not made a hedge of protection? Notice this. I need to just burn this into your memory. Around him. One. Two. Around his household. Two. Three. Around all that he has. Four. On every side. In other words, the devil cannot get in there because God constructed a hedge of protection. In Ezekiel, we've just read that God looks for a man who would make up a hedge, build a wall of protection around the land, lest I destroy it. See, now we get to the place of prayer and intercession. Now we begin to understand that you are capable of keeping the enemy out. We could take a spotlight, throw it on Job and the way that he lives. He was upright, he departed, he had the fear of the Lord, and he departed, he shunned evil, he avoided that. And God says, but now Lord, there's no way I can get to this man. Now to take that principle, I'm saying to you now, I have to close, I notice, because it's 13 minutes past already. It is possible, oh for sure it is possible, and I have experienced that also personally. It is possible to build a hedge of protection around your own life, around your family's lives, your household, around everyone that you love and care about. It is possible for you to put the devil on the outside, and it is possible to physically, spiritually actually, build a hedge of protection. In fact, it is so vitally critical, I close with these words, that there was a time way back in 1988 when Satanists were coming against the church. There was a wave of Satanism. One of those Satanists that came to the Lord afterwards said that they sent demons against my house. When they came to my house, those demons were immediately confronted by a ring of angels around my house. And those demons, the leading angel spoke to them, you come one step further. We're going to strike you down. And you will go to the place of torment until the judgment day. The terror, the fear came upon those demons. They fled. They went straight back to the Satanists and tormented them. Why have you sent us out against that man? When the Satanists came to repentance, they told us the story. And we found out about it afterwards. But they couldn't get through. Because spiritually, you can't Oh, dear Lord Jesus, you can protect your nation, your community, your city, your household, your belongings, your family, you, everything you have. It is well within your reach to build a hedge of protection. Tonight, we get to it. Give the Lord a praise offering right now. Amen. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Frankly, Lord, I couldn't live without it, and these people cannot live without it. So teach us your word that we may live in peace, as you said, by peace I give unto you. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and be gracious to you. Grant you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you tonight.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.